Let's.
Whatever you say, Ben Talladay.
So nice of you to ask us for permission.
I know, right? Hey, everybody, I'm Kyle Rosedahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart.
I am Molly Wood. None of us is as smart as all of us. It is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday because it is not getting less tiring. I don't know how it is for you, but the weeks are not getting less tiring. No.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine today, and she pointed out that it's the conversation happens at the extremes, virtually every conversation these days. And so there's no reasoned middle, and that is just draining and exhausting. And I think that's why it's getting not getting any easier, not getting any less.
I think you're right.
You know?
That is so true. It's like all of the things that we're actually doing, plus outrage, just constant.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
So there anyway, you go. So we'll do what we usually do, which is a little news, a little make me smile, and then see ya.
Yeah,
that's where we.
Then
are.
We're out.
That's what we got.
Okay.
All right.
Yours
is first in the rundown, so you get to go first.
All right. I had to take note of the fact that in congressional testimony today, actually, Costco announced or had previously announced, said on Thursday, Craig Jelinek, CEO, said before lawmakers that Costco actually plans to make its starting minimum wage $16 an hour next week. The company had raised its starting pay to $15 an hour in 2019 and basically said, this is not altruism. We know that paying employees good wages makes sense for our business and constitutes a significant competitive advantage for us. And he talked about minimizing turnover. This, of course, was in the context of a conversation about whether Congress will vote to include the increase in the federal minimum wage that we talked about last week to $15 an hour by 2025. Mm-hmm. What I am thinking is increasingly interesting about these big retailers all raising their minimum wages to $15 or $16 an hour, especially Costco now saying $16 an hour, is that it's almost... Mm-hmm. It is almost becoming an arms race in terms of wages at big companies. And I wonder if we will get to a point where, regardless of what the law ends up being, small businesses will find that they have to raise wages or not be able to find workers.
Yeah. Like,
could this be a
weird
market?
Yeah, because those workers obviously will go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd work at Starbucks instead, or Amazon instead, or Costco instead. And so they, you know, small businesses are already feeling the squeeze from these big employers, but you just wonder at some point if it isn't just going to become market forces doing what they do and forcing everybody to raise wages, which I guess ultimately achieves the same thing.
Yeah. So, you know, what's interesting. So look, I totally agree. And I think that's absolutely right. And it's yet another example of a thing that you really happened on at the beginning of the Trump administration, which is we had talked about, corporate America being a check, the fourth branch of government, and a check on the president, because at that point, big corporations were you know, standing fast on some reasonable things. And now big corporations are, in advance of government policy, doing things that they believe will be good for their business. And I think that's just kind of noteworthy. And we'll see what happens. As we have to be clear here, the minimum wage proposition in the bill is, number one, in some peril because the Senate parliamentarian has to weigh in. Biden has already said he doesn't think it's going to make it. And Joe Manchin and Tom Cotton from West Virginia and Arkansas, respectively, have put forth a bill that would have like a $10 minimum wage or maybe 11 bucks, which is obviously even less than people would be getting by to live on in a $15 minimum wage, which is still not enough, you know?
What we do on this show is math. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, less.
You know, 15's too much, but $11 is okay. You know, whatever. I don't know.
Well, and what it's... Yeah, exactly. It's still, like you said, not enough to live on. And so I wonder if this is one of those cases where the market will end up solving it. Or... Right. Putting more small businesses out of business because they can't compete, because they're just not even in the same ballpark. Hard to say. Yep. But interesting.
Yeah, which could happen. Well, so on that whole small businesses thing, I got a DM earlier this week after we had done a story on minimum wage on like Monday or Tuesday. guy in North Carolina. He said, so, as of today, you completely lost me as a listener. It has been a steady slide, but thank you, sir. But today capped it. Describing the minimum wage increase as a bump up rather than a doubling casts serious doubt on your objectivity for the small business owner. So first of all, I never said bump up. Nobody in the story said bump up, but whatever. Because people hear what they want to hear when it comes out of the radio. But small business owners, you know, they're a little uptight. And this is a guy who runs a grocery store in North Carolina, because I Googled him. And, you know, he's going to have a tough time keeping up against the Krogers if the Krogers decide to pay $15, $16, $18 an hour. That's totally the truth. I will also say, by the way, it's not all going to happen at the stroke of a pen. Yeah, no, go ahead.
What? Yeah. No, it is. That's exactly what I was going to say. It is a bump in the sense that there are multiple bumps. It doesn't happen all at once.
Years.
It is an eventual doubling. And the truth of the matter is, and this, you know, I would say to your friend, is like, look, you might not have a choice if Kroger's is paying $15. Like, it's not going to matter. And also, I'm sorry, bump is an unspecified amount.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Totally. I just, that one got me.
Now I'm all mad about the bump thing.
Anyway, speaking of stories, here's mine. It's, and look, I don't care about Adam Neumann and WeWork, and we have talked about this many a times. He's the guy who founded WeWork and built it and pumped it up and got billions of dollars and this and that, and then it all went kerflooey for some reasonably obvious reasons about not entirely thought through business plans. But as a going away present, when WeWork was collapsing, Adam Neumann got hundreds of millions. I think at one point the number was in the billions of dollars. And there's a story in the Wall Street Journal today updating his separation package and what SoftBank is going to do for him and buy stock from him and blah, blah, blah. And who cares about the details? Here's the line of this story that got me. And I said, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Quote, SoftBank is also slated to pay $50 million for Mr. Neumann's legal fees. Now, I know lawyers make a lot of money, especially when they're wrapped up in big expensive deals like this for long periods of time. But $50 million seems like a lot of lawyer money. Apologies to the lawyers out there, but come on, man.
Yeah, $50 million. Yeah. I'm not saying the guy didn't have a good idea eventually. I mean, we'll see if it works as a business.
Right.
But if I failed at anything this hard, I would... I would not get any money.
Right.
I mean, it's just it's absurd. And these poor employees who may get no payout at all from the stock are having to sit there and go like, really? $50 million for your legal fees? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to hundreds of millions of dollars of stock sales and all this jazz. It's cray cray. Banana pants. It's just amazing balls.
I'm going to buy nearly $500 million worth of stock from Adam Neumann, in addition to then him needing, because, you know.
Right.
Like, we should really nickel and dime this situation. Like, the $500 million is okay, but what about those legal fees? That's going to sting. Like, it's not even real money, except that everybody, like, no, just raw. That story is like everything that's wrong, all in one story.
Right.
Maybe not everything. There's so many more things wrong. Make me smile.
There's many things that are wrong. Yeah. Ben, hit us. Hit it.
Making a list in my head. I mean, it doesn't have this, goodness. This, 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 or this, but it does have this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to go real quick. And this one was, full disclosure, it was yesterday, but we were doing What Do You Want on a Wednesday for yesterday. So I'm getting this in today. Dunkin' Donuts, which is, by the way, an extremely overrated coffee and donut chain with overrated coffee. Don't at me, bro. Don't.
Too late.
Don't at me. Anyway. They are now adding for spring 2021, approximately, as Insider points out, 5 years after the phenomenon peaked, they are adding avocado toast. And here's the deal. It's going to be avocado toast. It's going to be, quote, a creamy mouthwatering avocado spread from avocado, sea salt, black pepper, and lemon juice. It's going to be $2.99. So highest quality right there, too. Sorry, that's it.
Ooh, yeah. You know, I was going to say it was probably going to be avocado mush, but now that you said that, like,
Yep. On toasted sourdough bread topped with everything bagel seasoning. I'm out.
Oh, my God. I wish I could go there.
That's what I got. Yeah. Oh, no.
That's pretty darling. And RIP your DMs because...
I don't care. It's worth it.
Dunkin' Donuts
is terrible.
1,000,000% agree with you, but people are religious about that kind of thing.
I know.
I threw this one in at the last minute, and you're just going to have to go to our website and click it and watch it because it's crazy. It's from an MSNBC producer tweeting about Tom Cruise TikToks, and the Tom Cruise TikToks are deep fakes.
Oh, with, and, man.
But the, it is, you, it's so upsetting that it just sort of made me like, it made me like nervously laugh and freak out because it looks so real that I kind of just need everyone to go watch it. You got to watch. He does like a coin trick or whatever. And it, it you'll just, it's, that's all. So that's
I'm
the like
now.
The future.
Watching,
sort of like a grenade make me smile for you guys. Like I pulled the pin. Now you go check it out.
Wow.
And the story that I read today that was actually just lovely was about how the people who are giving vaccine shots right now are the happiest people in America. And they're just, it's, I'm totally going to tear up. It's, you know, my sister-in-law is a public school teacher and she went and got the vaccine and it was at that big Coliseum vaccine site in Oakland. And she, her reaction was one of kind of anxiety because she was like, oh my God, it's like this FEMA situation. There's all these military tents, there's National Guard everywhere. And she just, you know, she said it made her feel like, what have we been living through? That it's this like Walking Dead setup. But then at the same time was sort of just like, oh, my God, I felt this like incredible pride and hope. And then this story is all about that. This hype, and they call it like reassembly lines where we can like put our mental health back together. It says you can see the smile. I mean, you got to just like go read this and realize how powerful hope is. It's great.
Wow.
It's great. It'll make you smile and cry. Yep.
That's cool.
It's a smile and cry. I loved
it. Oh, that's good.
I loved
it.
I
like that.
Yep.
Like
USA. USA.
Okay. All righty. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
So
all done.
That's
it. All right. All done.
We're leaving. Back tomorrow. Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream. 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. Check your local listings for wherever you are. Join us, won't you?
Please do. I've officially decided that February 26th is close enough in the dry February stretch.
Fair enough. Oh,
we'll
good.
See.
Oh, good.
We'll
good,
see
good.
What happens.
Only 2 days left. Come on. Yeah, for sure.
Come on. Yeah. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter in the meantime. This week, we are talking about the SplinterNet, a longstanding topic of mine, the end of the free and open internet and how it's going to just look different where depending on where you live coming down the road. The standoff between Facebook and the Australian government is sort of the latest and greatest example of this. But, you know, there are many and it's super interesting. Sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters.
Bueno. All right, hang on.
I'm all weepity.
Or Thursday, as we know it around here. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner produces stuff for us. Erica Phillips writes stuff for us. Newsletters, Make Me Smart skills on your smart devices. You know.
It's true.
Just because it's written down doesn't mean I have to read it exactly like that.
Absolutely not. Ben Holliday, like, engineers this stuff and makes the music with his homie Daniel Ramirez. Our senior producer is Donna Tam, who's filling in for Bridget Bodner, who sent us an update because we called her out on the show. She sent baby pics, which is all we really wanted, and said that everything is fine and the new baby is a genius who's figured out how to only spit up when Bridget puts on something clean. Yay!
Perfect.
And the woman who just grimaces at us during our meetings so she will not cry over our shared parenthood fate.
How she's on
is
mute
Tara
and
Nieves.
She just kind of stares solemnly into the camera and I'm like, what are we doing wrong?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.